Let's pray. Eternal God, is the light shines outside this place, and the warmth and the light of your presence are felt inside this place. So illumine my words and use them for your glory. Change them, if you should, but in all things use them. Otherwise, this time is squandered among people that long to know you and to rest in your love and your peace. It's in the name of your Son, it's through the power of your Holy Spirit I pray. Amen. How many mothers do you have? I have so many mothers. I have the mother who gave birth to me, raised me, sat up at night with me when I was sick, helped me with my homework, and tried to teach me to sing on key. Every single year when I tried out for cheerleading in high school and didn't make it, she would be right there on the other end of the phone when I called in tears of disappointment so I could settle myself before I got on the late bus to come home. She taught me to cook. She taught me to take care of my brothers and my sister and to learn to mother them even as I had been mothered. She taught me tenacious pursuit of my goals in spite of all odds. She was the mother who gave me birth. But I also had an aunt who mothered me and spoiled me rotten. She taught me the power of unconditional love, how to be free and silly, even though everybody around us would frown and tell us both to grow up. She mothered me into the joy and freedom of being an individual and taught me the element of surprise that was always just waiting to be found if you just look for it. She mothered me with magical love. Another aunt mothered me into an awareness of service. She was a social worker in California, and during my high school years, she would send me letters telling me all about caring for others, and the importance of lifting people up out of their challenges into a place of success. She gave me a sense of focus and an intentionality and drive to change the world one person at a time. One of my grandmothers also mothered me just by her presence. She spoke little. She was slow to smile. But when she spoke and when she smiled, she was like E.F. Hutton. All the world would listen, and her whole face would shine with joy. We kids used to try our hardest to do whatever it took to see that beautiful, wrinkly face of her smile. This lady was born in the 1880s, but even so, she graduated from college. She spoke three languages. She raised seven children during the Depression of the 1920s, and she's the one who taught me perseverance and gave me a sense of history when she would take out these cardboard boxes full of yellowed family photos and spread them all over her bed and tell me where I came from. These and so many other women relatives nurtured me by holding my heart in theirs and helping me to grow in my own mothering. But you know, it even takes more than this to mothering to raise a child. I had a choir director in the church of my growing up who said, "Catherine, just walk to my house, it was 2 miles away, and I will teach you to knit." And that winter, I made a pair of slipper socks for my daddy for Christmas. A French teacher in high school was so kind to me in my pitiful adolescent awkwardness. She just consoled me with the words time and again, "You'll be fine. It's just not your time." She taught me hope. And she taught me vision. An English professor mothered me in college as she sat and talked with me for hours as I developed my senior honors project. And she taught me linear thinking even when my brain was fried. Sometimes we're mothered by close friends we can call late at night or early in the morning and just share our hearts. Sometimes our mothers are those who raise us spiritually as they guide us in our faith. And quite frankly, sometimes our own daughters, those children of our hearts, mother us in their wisdom as they have become women, especially when they remind us of the joy of life, no matter our age, by encouraging us and telling us, "God's got this, Mom. He's not finished using you yet. Now go." And that's when we realized they were listening. And we said those exact same things to them. And on and on and on it goes. So many mothers raising us in so many ways. How many mothers do you have? You know, there's an old African proverb that Hillary Clinton later used as the title of a book that says, "It takes a village to raise a child." And if we were really to sit and think about it, we would lose count of all the mothers in our lives. And that's why I firmly believe that Mother's Day isn't just to honor those who bear children within their bodies. Mother's Day is also for the women who have borne our souls and nurtured our spirits. And please, ladies, accept the honor that each of you are due. For you have mothered far more children over the years than you could ever have had the possible opportunity to both burp and diaper. Today we celebrate the global village of God's women who have touched so many lives through their strength, their tenacity, their courage, their wisdom, and their love. And men, don't get me wrong, you're equally important to the village and to the raising of the children, but your day's next month. So you're just going to have to wait. Today is all about the women of the village. And that's why we read that long first passage about Naomi and the short rejoinder. These are women who, in the first reading, were trying to construct a village of mothering out of just the two of them. Naomi had left her home village of Bethlehem with her husband and boys in order to survive a famine, or so they thought. But instead, they became strangers in a strange land called Moab, and it turned out to be not such a great idea, because isolation never is. Elimelech, the family patriarch, died, leaving Naomi a widow with two sons, and it could have been a great tragedy. But it was a time not without hope, because the boys married local girls, perhaps with thoughts of building relationship in the land of their migration and becoming part of that village, or perhaps to start a microcosmic village of their own. But then they died as well, and Naomi's done. She released the girls to go back to their own villages, their own birth mothers, and begin again. Naomi's just going to go home and die. To die without a family and without a village to mother her, that was a very real and tragic possibility. Orpah did return to the village of her birth, but Ruth chose to become a village with Naomi. The two would return together, and for a while, the mother-in-law would be mothered by her daughter-in-law. Now, if you know the book of Ruth, you will remember that the women in Naomi's hometown unexpectedly welcomed the widow back. They had not forgotten her, and they refused to call her by the name of Mara, which means bitter. And they helped her remember who she was. Naomi, which means pleasant. Do any of the mothers in your life help you remember who you are? When you have lost your way, celebrate them today. As the book of Ruth continues, Naomi gains her strength and once again assumes the maternal role in relationship with Ruth. And the book of Ruth tells of the ebb and flow of that mothering relationship. And the book ends with the beginning of a new village of mothers. Did you notice what happened? When Ruth married and had a child, the women of the village named the baby. He belonged to all of them. And then Naomi claimed that child as her own, not as a replacement child for her boys. Children are never replaced. And not to the detriment of Ruth as the baby's birth mother. That mother would always hold a special place. But Naomi claimed him as the child of her old age. She was the grandmother. And the entire village was invested in the raising of this child who would one day claim King David, the man after God's own heart, grandchild. But no mother in this mothering business is alone. It takes a village. Especially in this day and age, mothering is hard. It is hard for those who bear children. It is hard for those like Naomi who have lost children. It is hard for those who have no support system when things run amok and families fall apart and have lost sight of their home village. We all need a village, particularly in Northern Virginia. This fast-paced area can be so isolating unless we intentionally develop villages and support systems. You know, so many families in our community are military, and being a military family in Northern Virginia is particularly tough because unless you live on post, there is no network of family support systems to catch you up and make sure you don't fall through the cracks. Sometimes as well, it seems as though we rarely get our curtains hung before our spouses are getting new orders. Are you kidding me? I finally got stuff to start matching. That is one reason that I am so grateful for the moms in this church who began Mom's Life, because two moms, Heather and Chrissy, recognized a need. Mom's Life is village life. It has served as a spiritual support group for moms and their children, not just military moms, not just civilian moms, but a lovely mix of the whole. All moms who have chosen to create a village within a village and help each other on the journey of life. And you know what? There are some other moms in our village at Franconia Church that care for the children of these young moms during this Sunday morning Bible study fellowship. These gracious women have chosen to come alongside these mamas and their babies just as others did the same for them when they had little ones. All these women have impacted not only this Thursday morning group and each other, but they have impacted the lives of all within our community of faith in such positive ways, from the youngest to the oldest. It's been wonderful to watch them grow and connect and mother each other. We also have women in our church who have mothered the children in the elementary school, children they would never otherwise have known, as they mentor them, as they've served as reading buddies. Other women have mothered members of our congregation and our community by providing food to those in time of illness and new birth. Just this past Friday, some women just gathered together to come and provide a meal for Phyllis Pennick and her family following Friday's funeral. They gave food and love and companionship to those who grieved. That's what mothers do. But you see, it doesn't just take a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a community, particularly when we're so far from those we would normally have considered to be our hometown village. Mary C. Tillotson at the Institute for Family Studies once stated, "We do need a village to raise children. Phone and internet are great for keeping in contact with friends now miles away, but those friends, that family isn't always available to babysit or hug you when you feel like life is falling apart." And I would also add that our home villages aren't around to hold our hand in the hospital or at a deathbed. But they also aren't always there for the celebrations like graduations and birthdays, which is one reason why we make such a big deal out of those events in the life of our church village. You just wait. In the coming weeks, it's going to be crazy town around here. We are going to have baptisms, confirmation, graduation, as all our kids, the ones we promised to help raise, to mother, to love and encourage, all in the name of Jesus, are going to be affirmed by all the mamas in this place who helped raise them. It takes a village. It takes each of us. It takes each and every single one of us to help in the raising of the next generation. A generation that is destined to become the leaders in a world that seems to have lost its way. How are we to raise them? With a strong belief in God, with firm integrity so that they might live fully into lives of service, humility, compassion, and accountability for those times when they mess up. But even in those times, to love them unconditionally so that they can go out and do the same. We are all called by God to raise His children. So happy Mother's Day. And welcome to the village God has called you to be a part of, no exception, because you're each part of the village of God. And to God be the glory.